Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Lee Cantor with Stone Payton, another episode of Pensacola Business Radio, and this has got to be so much fun for you. I can't even imagine going back to my hometown and telling the stories of what's going on in the business world there.
No, it's been an absolute blast, and I'm like, you know, less than an hour and a half away from some fresh mullet, which you don't get a great deal of in Marietta, Georgia. So this is just a banner day for me all the way around. We have had so much fun all day long, and we've had such substantive, inspiring conversations. Doesn't this just beat the heck out of working?
That's right. Imagine working for a living.
I can't. I can't even believe to. And in this last segment today on Pensacola Business Radio, we're going to get a chance to visit with Michael Viron. I probably forgot how to pronounce his last name. And he is with Contact Intelligence. And we're going to wrap the day with Chrissy Heinold, who is here at the CIE. But first up on Pensacola Business Radio in this segment, we have the distinct pleasure of speaking with a gentleman from Accounting Fly. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Jeff Phillips. How are you, man?
Hey, Stone. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
So Accounting Fly, you help make accountants look cool and hip. Is that what is that what that means?
I think you just summed it up right there. Yeah. Accounting Fly is, think of us as a digital career center for the entire accounting profession around the United States.
Are there a lot of accountants?
There's over a million accountants in the United States.
Wow. Are you a recovering accountant?
I'm the son of an accountant. And when I was a kid, my dad made me work in his accounting firm.
And you said, I don't want to do that.
I learned I was not cut out to be an accountant. Yeah, so I ended up going into sales and marketing. Ended up at Monster.com for 7 years.
Yeah.
And I was Monster.com's salesperson of the year in 2007. So one thing I did do is I helped H&R Block hire all those. They hire 35,000 tax preparers every year. And so we use the internet to help them make those hires. That was my job. And so what I learned there, I've always wanted to start a company. We kind of took that same model and put it into the accounting industry a couple of years ago.
And then, so what is the service?
Yeah. So what's the service? So there's two problems that we solve. The first problem is that job boards. Okay. Have you ever tried to hire somebody on a job board?
No.
Okay. You will likely not succeed.
It doesn't work
because
that well.
They kind of suck. Yeah. They're just a challenge to recruit from.
Right.
We've invented a new model of job board that works. I have firms making hires of accountants every single week across the United States on this site. Otherwise, they would be paying a headhunter $25,000 to $30,000 to hire a 27-year-old CPA.
Because why don't you educate the listener in that regard? Like, how does the headhunting business work typically?
Right. You decide that you want to make a hire. You contact a retained search, and they say, we'll go make that connection for you. We'll help you hire somebody.
And they go on a job board, and then they find the person.
They go to Accounting Fly. They find a job seeker and ask them if they'd like to work.
And then they make 20 grand.
Yeah,
right?
You stroke them a check for $30,000. We felt like that might need to be reworked a little bit.
There could be some disruption to that.
There is definitely some disruption to that going on right now. We have one firm in Atlanta who's made four hires in the last 6 weeks. So you think about that. They pay us an annual subscription of about $3,000. So you think they're happy that they didn't spend $100,000 or
and
so?
And they're accountants, so they're good at counting the money. So
they're better than I am. Yeah, they're good at counting it. And the other interesting thing is that we picked accounting specifically because, you know, all right, there's a million accountants. All right, there are 40,000 accounting firms, and there's another 40,000 companies that hire accountants. But what's interesting is there are four companies that hire most of the accountants, and that's the big four, and they've got this crazy dynamic where that's where everybody wants to go work. And that's fine. It's a great.
Is that true?
It is true. So about 45,000 people graduate from a college with an accounting degree every year, destined for public accounting. The big four hire 16,000 to 17,000 of them.
Wow.
So if you're a kid going to college, majoring in accounting, you hear about one thing. And you're never going to hear about the kind of firm that I grew up in, my dad. And those are great places to work too. So what we are known for doing, and this is where our true disruption takes place, is we've leveled the playing field for everybody else. We spend every week teaching the America's accountants about why they should be considering careers in small firms, regional firms, the government, you know, working in a private corporation. It's not against anything against the big four. It's just you ought to investigate your own career path. Mm-hmm. We help you do that.
But you're actively out there educating accountants and potential accountants to this. So how are you getting
sure.
that done?
So one of the ways we get that done is through webinars. We have a webinar every Thursday. Last week we had the IRS's head of recruiting for the IRS. And he did a webinar. We had probably 700 accountants register for that webinar because the IRS, they want to hire accountants too. And so I know what you're thinking. This is a really sexy business idea.
That's what I was thinking.
But I think it's pretty exciting because the IRS has no way of connecting. They're all competing for talent against the big four who have more resources, more brand exposure. They got the
They've got maybe even a little bit of a branding challenge. The IRS,
right. They definitely do.
Right?
Yeah, that's why they're working with. There's the Bloomberg article a couple weeks ago that said the IRS is trying to make themselves interesting to young people again, and that's an uphill challenge. But we can help them. I mean, he did a great job on the webinar. We're going to do a few more events with him. We also do so. This is why job boards aren't great. You just plop a job board on the internet and you think people are going to come and apply and everything's going to be groovy. That's not the way it works. A job board is the landing page. It's the thing that all the other events should drive you towards. So, like our webinar, we will have people apply to the IRS because of our webinar. We do an event. It's the largest career fair in the accounting profession. It's called National Meet the Firms Week.
And that's virtual, or that's an actual in-person?
Completely virtual career fair. That is for college students. Mm-hmm. Next Thursday, we're doing our annual virtual career fair for experienced accountants. We've got about 70 firms from across the country who've bought virtual booths and hundreds of job seekers, and they're going to have an internet chat online. Maybe you're an accountant in Pensacola, but you're moving to Marietta. Well, you can chat with PYA, which is a firm in Atlanta. Well, the PYA recruiter is looking at your resume over here on the left-hand side and then a chat window on the right-hand side, and they're going to talk to you. And if you're a good fit, we'll schedule a phone interview. So see how it's how the internet changes everything. That's what mm-hmm. I'm sure you guys talk about a lot. It changed recruiting when Monster came out because they put the classified ad online. So that was a good revolution. Our what we call our model is inbound recruiting. All of the things that work for internet marketing you can do, and we do effectively, but we want the job board to be the final connection point between the job seeker and an employer. We just go way more above and beyond than a LinkedIn or an Indeed or a
Monster. But you're working both sides of this balloon, right?
To.
Because you have to have enough accountants be part of it.
Chicken and the egg.
Right. So now what's more important? Are they both equally as important?
We will go out of business if we do not have enough accountants applying to the accounting mm-hmm. jobs. So we have to get traffic. But the firms, I cannot understate to you how big of a problem it is if you own an accounting firm, how hard it is to hire a 4 to 7 years of experience accountant. It's so hard that the CEO of the AICPA, that's the governing body of all accountants, he gave a keynote address at this conference last week at the AICPA conference, and that was the first thing he talked about, and he spent more time talking about that than any other subject. We're in a crisis because accountants aren't going to the regional and local accounting firm. So we're suited perfectly to solve this problem and create a killer business solving that problem and making a difference in our industry.
So now, when you left Monster, this was the idea that compelled you to leave Monster?
I left Monster and my two partners and I started this company.
And they're both Monster veterans?
Both entrepreneurs. One of them worked at an accounting firm. And as we started, we raised angel funding to get off the ground. And some of
did
our...
Did your dad invest?
He did not invest.
Yeah, because he's an accountant.
Because that's risk. Right. They risk averse accountants.
Exactly.
He provides moral support, though.
Right.
A lot of moral support and a little accounting support too. with the investors here in and they were 90% Pensacola based angel investors to get this thing off the ground. And
a big angel network here in Pensacola.
They're not to my knowledge, but I think we kind of created one. Yeah. And they believed in my background and my two partners' backgrounds because they're excellent. They're both successful track record. We said, look, we're going to go out there and try to make a difference. It's going to be, we told them how long it was going to take and how expensive it was going to be. And we were wrong by half on both.
So how long has this been in the making, this thing?
This is our third, we're in the middle of our third year of selling product. So we're what is it, 2015? We're halfway through it. Yeah. So this is the third year as a commercial product as a commercial.
Now, do you need or want more funding? Or
yeah, we're in a raise right now.
You are in a raise. Okay.
Where we're at, you know.
Your dad's still not.
Because Lee has some pretty deep pockets.
Hold on, Lee. I got my PPM right here in my back pocket. Will you sign this for me?
So your dad's still not in round two?
Dad is a retired accountant. He's living on a fixed income. There is no chance, if you're listening, he knows there's no chance it's going to happen.
That's funny.
Now, that being said, our other investors have come back multiple times because we've gone back to them to get off the ground. We're at a place where we've found product market fit, and that is the hardest, I think, plateau to reach. And then you sit there and you get there and you go, okay, the product works. The messaging works. What do we do now? Now you gotta take the little nucleus of the business, and you gotta put money into it and expand it.
Right. Okay, but why do you need money? Maybe you were about to say you need to hire more talent.
We want
to
hire salespeople. We want to spend more on search marketing and more on content marketing.
So most of your marketing happens online.
All of it. Yeah, all of it happens online.
You've been traveling, going to conferences, or what was that about?
Yeah, The conferences are so key for us because I speak at them and I talk about the subject of how hard it is to hire accountants and what these accounting firms need to do to be effective at that. And also it's great marketing for us. So I stand corrected. A lot of our marketing to job seekers is online. Our sales funnel is in person at these conferences and also over phone.
Now the job seekers don't pay, right? Or they do?
Free for job seekers. Right. Yeah, so employers pay us.
And that's where they are at these conferences.
They're there. We're there trying to get business, chase business down. And this conference we just got back from was super successful for us.
So now, like you mentioned, the big four, is there four big four now? There used to be big eight. So then what are they now down to? Four, three?
Yeah, there's four. You think about Deloitte, PwC, KPMG, and Ernst & Young.
So you don't go after them or they don't use you at all?
No. So we work with one of the big four, and I would like to work with the big four too. The big four also.
Nice cat.
AccountingFly is not just for small firms. It's just that the small firms have the biggest problem and we can solve it for them.
Right. They're in the most pain.
They're in the greatest pain. If you talk to the big four in California, they're in pain too, because you know who's poaching their people? Google, Facebook.
Oh, AccountingFly.
Maybe. Well, here's what happens. So they hire those 16,000 accounting students every year. Those accounting students have a 70% turnover rate. So by year three, they've left the big four.
Wow.
Is it just that brutal of an environment, or that's by design?
No, that is maybe it is by design, and I'm not going to comment on the brutality because I am trying to run a business here. But if you're, it's just a tough grind.
It is.
But also, they're missing their fit. There's people that are destined to become a big four partner. It's an incredibly lucrative career. But here's the sad truth. What happens, though, they get so burned out at the big four that they leave public accounting. So they're not going to work at Salt Marsh here in Pensacola.
They become radio hosts. they just throw everything away and radio hosts.
Some of them do leave accounting, but a lot of them just leave public accounting and go work at the hospital or the company. Lenure, concrete companies, hospitals, Google, Facebook, whatever. So we just want them to understand that they are so blind to all of the career options, and we saw that as our opportunity to build our brand by educating them. And look, if you want to apply to one of these firms, AccountingFly is a great place to do it.
Now, take us back to you leave Monster, you have this idea, you're kind of doing a Monster-like thing.
There's no paycheck in the mail.
Right. But it's, okay, so you build some prototype of the website or some working right at some point you had to build something that had to exist, and you go live, you probably got the account, you had to get the accountants in there first, right? So then you go to a client and say, look, this is gonna find you. Right now, what was that like with that first time that somebody hit the ding 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 button and you knew that this is gonna work?
Well, at first it probably didn't work. We built the technology. The first time a customer called us and said they made a hire, we had to act like we had been there before. Right. So I was like, well, congratulations. That's I hung up the phone and did cartwheels down the hallway. Balloons came down from the ceiling, and there were dancing ladies and everything all over the CIE here in Pensacola.
So the first one, it was while you were here at CIE?
I'm the senior tenant of the CIE.
You're an early adopter.
Yeah, we've been here for over 3 years now. We just passed our 3-year mark.
And that makes you the landlord, right? At this point, you have equity.
It makes me like the guy at your college who was supposed to graduate and then just kept right. sticking around into his 20s and 30s. And you're like, you need to move on with your life. And that's kind of how I feel when I show up to work every day.
Well, talk about that. What made you choose to get involved with the CIE?
Well, you know, they position it as an incubator, and I think it's to some degree it really is, but not the incubator that you think about, like what you get of Y Combinator or 500 right. startups. But first of all of our just infrastructure costs were wiped out by joining by being accepted here. We had to apply and be accepted by a committee, and they took a risk on us, I think. And so
you were the first one.
I think we were the first ones sort of under the new regime.
Right.
And
did you see the balloons and the dancing girls? Because they do them too.
No, that was just that one time. So all of our office expenses were covered, our phone, our internet, for a reasonable rent, a very reasonable rent that's probably subsidized by, you know, the chamber and the right. different organizations that help us out. So just not having that high rent is ridiculous. The first person I met was another entrepreneur who was in here. I guess technically they were in here before us, now that I'm reeling. But he was a Silicon Valley internet entrepreneur, sold a software company for $2 billion to a big software company that you would know. And he was down the hall plodding away at a new startup. I met him, and in our second meeting, I asked him to be on my board of directors, and he still is to this day.
Wow.
So he has been an incredible mentor to us.
So just on that, it's worth the price of admission.
Yeah, there you
right?
go. That's yes. worth it right there.
Absolutely. And we got plugged into Innovation Coast, which is tied to the CIE, tied to the chamber. They had a large statewide startup competition here in Pensacola, where we got to meet investors, we got to meet press, you know, different partners. We won second place and $50,000 in that startup competition last year. The first place winner is also a tenant of this building,
wow.
which is another national company that's doing great. It's been a fantastic experience. I'm glad it's here.
So what's next?
What's next is it's time for rapid growth.
Okay.
All right, and that means...
So that's why the next round,
that's marketing. We've got to figure out a way to scale this thing, and that's our new challenge. First, it was how do we build a product?
Viable.
Then
yeah.
it was just how do we get the product out into the right hands? And then all the people had the product, but it wasn't working right, and the connections weren't getting made. So every step is just a beachhead you got to take. So the next beachhead is how do I get out of the way and create a system that isn't reliant on me on a daily basis to grow? And that's our new challenge, and it's very difficult. And I'm sure a year from now we will have figured
funny
a way
stories
through
about it.
A new problem, yeah. new challenges.
And what will the next challenge will be? A competitor will realize that we were really smart to get into this industry, and when nobody else thinks it's interesting, and that'll be our next challenge.
It's always the boring. You always go with the boring.
I'm all about the boring because there's disruption in the boring.
Right.
There's a prominent speaker in the accounting industry who was giving a keynote at one of our very largest conferences, and I was in the room, and this is a year and a half into the business, and we had no reputation, no success. She was giving a speech, and she had a slide called The Major Disruptors of the Accounting Profession, mm-hmm. and there are two companies. Xero, who is this huge software company out in California, you know, that's raised hundreds of millions of dollars, they're taking on Intuit and the QuickBooks,
mm-hmm.
and us. And so when she said
that... You got
a photo
of that? You got that slide?
I had the slide. And our traffic spiked the day she said that. It spiked so bad that it almost broke the website. We had right. some issues. So we got her to be one of our board of advisors.
Nice.
Well, it's an incredibly exciting time for you. And we're looking forward to following your story, man. We got to have you back and get caught up from time to time.
It's a blast to talk about this stuff. And I'm excited to hear what you guys are doing. This is a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me.
Well, we're delighted to do it. Let's make sure before we wrap this segment that we let our listeners know how they can reach out and learn more. So website, phone number, email, all that good stuff.
Yeah, website is accountingfly.com. Jeff@accountingfly.com, and I'm on Twitter at Jeff Phillips _. So the little line that goes, not the dash,
right?
The one that goes down to the line.
Jeff_Phillips.
You just messed the whole thing up. It's
Jeff Phillips _.
That's it. Yeah. It's,
really?
Yeah.
Is it really? The underscore's at the end.
The underscore's at the end. It was either that or like Jeff Phillips 317.
Right.
No one's gonna remember that.
Well, this has been a real pleasure, and I'm quite sincere about this. Let's have you back. And I don't know, it might be fun to have you maybe with a delighted client or someone else you're working with, or you and
your, or one of your advisors.
Or one of your advisors. That might be a fun segment.
Let's do it. That'd be great.
So, yes, because we'll be back through, and at some point we're going to establish a permanent...
We'll need an accountant.
We're going to need an accountant, absolutely.
Everyone thinks I'm an accountant. I can help you hire
right, you'll help us find an accountant.
But you're going to help us get one, right?
Hopefully.
Yeah. Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
I'd love to. Thanks.
All right. Next up on Pensacola Business Radio, we have with us the Director of IT and Software Engineering with Contact Intelligence. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Mr. Michael Viron. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. I'm actually here not so much to speak about my day job, which is with Contact Intelligence, but to speak about Careers in Tech, which is another organization I'm in the process of founding.
Well, let's hear about it.
So Careers in Tech is started originally back in 2010. We started off with career services at EWF in two locations with... one at the UWF Pensacola main campus, and one at over in Chalamar at the Reef, which is a joint UWF campus.
Sounds like a great name for a bar. At the Reef, Chalamar, right? I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a it's a engineering and educational facility that.
Right.
So you think this that a career in tech's a good move? You're bullish in the
bullish on
technology.
Tech.
Exactly. That's why I'm not only in charge of all the technical stuff at Contact Intelligence. I have started a group called Web Spinners at the University of West Florida to actually allow students to gain real world web design and programming
yeah.
that experience back before the internet really took off.
Before it was cool.
Yeah, exactly. actually, I still have a project called General Education Online, which...
Is it in Fortran or COBOL?
It's in a language called PHP. It's a web-based project.
You got a lot going on, man.
Yeah. So going back to Careers in Tech, I actually approached Pensacola State College end of last year, beginning of this year. I'm like, you know what? Let me give this a try one more time and see where we're at as far as community engagement in it. And so I've this year I actually have a full planning committee to handle holding Careers in Tech events. So it kind of broke me from having to handle a lot of the day-to-day operational stuff to get things off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And to focus on kind of the larger picture. So I actually, early March, mid-April, I actually pitched Careers in Tech, which is a mechanism for students and transitioning professionals and others to gain direct access to local industry leaders and innovators that can provide feedback on what certifications are useful for them as they graduate.
And it's a moving target, right? That's the thing
exactly.
In your field particularly, right?
Exactly. It's a moving target. So we hadn't held one in about 4 years. So I figured, okay, it's time.
It's like the Olympics.
but it needs to be more often.
Right. And so at this point, we actually have plans to not only hold events in the fall, we're planning on holding more focused events targeted to specific industries in tech in the spring, and then the plan is to continue holding this fall and spring going forward.
And these events, corporate participation, corporate sponsorship, funding, speak to some of that. How do you see all of that unfolding?
Well, I'm thankful so far that I've got the University of West Florida, Pensacola State College, the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, Innovation Coast, Northwest Florida State College, University of South Alabama, I'm sure I'm...
So a lot of educational institutions,
yep.
Right?
And then, you know, I have very heavy participation from the group that I'm actually leading called the Computer and Communications Joint Society for Northwest Florida.
Just rolls right off the tongue, Michael.
Yeah, it's it's a group in part of IEEE and the IEEE Computer Society and the Communications Society. And so I have national backing from actually worldwide backing from those three organizations as well. We're actually in the process right now of establishing what kind of sponsorship levels we'll have, what the companies will get for those sponsorship levels. Those
and your very
things.
Next event? When is the very next like big powwow that you have planned?
Well, the next planning committee meeting is next week.
Oh, okay. All right. So you really haven't put together that actual next event thing.
Actually, we have it scheduled right now.
Okay.
So I actually have it scheduled right now for Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, and Mobile. All three places on October 1st, same night, all going.
Oh, simultaneously.
Yep.
That's aggressive.
And
yep.
then
ambitious.
What's an example of like the kind of, like what can an attendee expect in terms of speaker or panelists?
Well, we're still sorting out, we know generally who we would like to get for speakers and for our panelists. We're still working through the logistics on that.
I know a guy with an accounting startup. He likes to speak.
Yeah, and he's a professional speaker. The guy goes all over the country
he's
talking.
He's touring the world.
So basically the way that it's going to be structured is we'll have a maybe 5 to 10 minute opening session. Once we finish with that, we're going to go to a 4 or 5 person panel, just depending on location. The opening speaker will actually get broadcast to the other location, to the other two location where he's not physically present. So we're going to have a feed from probably one of the two locations near Pensacola to Mobile and the and either Gulf Breeze or Pensacola, just depending on where the speaker lives closest.
So what's your vision of this?
How are you going to know if it's working?
Well, I know from 2011 it worked. We had standing room only both times that we held it. We were at maybe 115, 120 people that attended. So I know that the interest is there. I know that the interest is there, not only based on historical attendance, but also on the fact that, you know, we have such wide representation from not only just the Pensacola State College, University of West Florida, but we also have the economic development arm of the chamber. We have them directly.
They're
engaged.
Particularly well wired, I think, and very easy to work with. Our experience, because yep. we're trying to put a studio here. Right, the economic yep. development folks, the entrepreneurial community, it just seems to be a very collaborative group that really wants to help folks.
Yep.
So one measure of success is you're going to have this heightened level of participation.
Yep.
What is the problem we're trying to solve for the planet? Do we need more people interested in careers in tech, and do they need more direction in pursuing that path?
Well, I think what I've seen over the last 20 years, because I've been in tech for 20 years now, will be.
You don't have any
August.
Gray hair at all. How did 20 years? Seriously?
Yep.
Wow. Since, okay, I interrupted you. I just
no, that's all right. So the issue that I've seen, and I've been with Contact Intelligence now for since 2002, so 13 years now, and the issue that we've seen is that people are graduating but are not well-versed to go from an academic space over to industry.
And really getting away. And so they're making yeah. lattes.
So. Well, it's either that, or the issue is that as an employer, this is kind of the flip side of it, you're having to train people that are coming in that are making, you know, sometimes 40, 50, 60 grand.
I got to pay them that and train them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's got to stick in a person's craw as a business person, I would think.
You know, and so there's what we found is that there's a fairly significant ramp up time for these people coming out of UWF or Pensacola State. And so
right.
one of the ways of providing guidance to these students as far as, you know, what career skills are we going to be looking for? What certifications are we looking for? What kind of topics they should look at as far as electives? what kind of internships they should pursue, those kinds of things, I think are beneficial not only from an employer's perspective, but also to the student to know so that they can get very early on, know, okay, these are things that we need to do before we graduate.
So what do you need and want from us, the business community? How can we help?
So one of the ways that the business community helps is this year is that the speakers and the panelists are going to be pulled directly from the local business communities.
Great.
So we've got that going on. We do have folks from the business community actually on the planning committee itself, which is, you know, as I mentioned, kind of helps me to look at more of the overall picture. And so the thing is that this is not just going to happen in Mobile, Gulf Breeze, and Pensacola. We actually have a date for Niceville, Florida in November, on November 7th this year. We're working on a date right now for Tallahassee, Florida. We've got, let's see, Atlanta and Huntsville both looking at holding this this year. And actually, I had to basically tell the Computer Society headquarters, stop sending me people. You know, we're going to kick this
already.
We're going to kick this off with you know, between 6 and 8 locations, just depending on what happens in Atlanta and Huntsville as far as organizationally and getting the logistics sorted out. And then we will be having a meeting, or I'll be having a meeting with the national folks to see, okay, what other areas of the country are we going to look at for next year?
Fantastic.
Now, if somebody wanted to get involved, is there a website or a place to go? Tell me there's not a website. You're IT guy. How is that possible?
We do actually have the domains purchased. We have not published the site yet.
What about a Facebook page?
Facebook.
Twitter?
Twitter. The easiest way to find us on Twitter right now is to go through my personal one, which is twitter.com/mviron.
Uh-huh.
So
if they want to get a hold of you on Twitter, they just can go there to @mviron.
Exactly.
And then and you'll respond back.
Yeah.
And then if a company wants to get involved, what's the best way for them to get involved?
Well, they can reach out by sending an email to mviron, first initial, last name, @findaschool.net. Or they can reach out by phone. If that works better for them, they can reach out by calling 850-384-4408.
And you're available also on LinkedIn. Michael Viron on LinkedIn is another way to connect with you, right?
Yep, exactly.
And as you get the URL for this thing, we'll get it posted wherever the archive of today's episode is posted as well. And I'm sure we'll have an opportunity from time to time to kind of check in with you and see what events are coming on the horizon. Keep up the good work, man.
Yeah, this is very important.
It is important.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm glad that I have such strong backing from the folks locally, because, you know,
couldn't do it without it, I don't think. Or
yeah,
it's very difficult, I would think.
I've organized events by myself before, and you know, it's one of those things where
it's herding cats.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that the attendees just don't even realize is going on.
I don't think we want to see it. It's like making the sausage.
So I'm very thankful for Pensacola State, UWF, my employer Contact Intelligence, who's provided me time during the day to handle oversight of the Careers in Tech events, Innovation Coast.
NASCAR driver now.
It's important to recognize Contact Intelligence because they are giving you the time and
to give you that space to do that.
Why don't you give them their website?
Yeah, let's do that.
The so for Contact Intelligence, the website is contact with a K, KONTACT intelligence.com.
Yeah, these are IT guys. These are not literature majors. they spell contact with a K. But yes, dude, keep up the good work. Let's stay connected. Let's make sure that we continue to try to get the word out about the good work you guys are doing.
Thank you.
No problem.
Hang out with us. We got one more guest we're going to visit with.
All right.
All right, Lee, are you ready?
I am ready.
This is the segment we have been waiting for all afternoon. We have with us from the Gulf Coast Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, a young lady who has actually been in the studio here all day
Without her, we could not have done
There's
this.
There's no way we would have pulled this off.
The most important person today.
She is, and she has made the entire experience an absolute delight. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Miss Chrissy Heinold. How are
you? I'm good. Thank you guys for having me here today, and I've enjoyed being a part of it. This is my first experience as far as with radio and seeing, you know, the behind the scenes. It's just fascinating to me.
Now, you're with CIE, the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship here, mm-hmm. Gulf Coast Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And when you heard that we were coming, and then you now have experienced
She rolled her eyes and said, oh, no.
No.
What were you thinking?
Now you're telling on me here. I mean, I was, like I said, I've never really had experience with radio. And so.
So were you looking forward to us coming or were you dreading us?
Well, I think it was more of a, I was looking forward to it. Okay. I don't think there was any dread. At least if there was, I didn't know it was there. But just the fact that it's a business radio focused centrally on business. Like, I mean, I know we have different radio stations and different, you know, media outlets here in Pensacola, but not specifically, at least as far as I'm aware, designed specifically for the business community.
Right.
And I think that was a part of the reason why I was excited for y'all to come.
And it dovetails with the mission here of the center, right? Because you're about innovation and helping businesses grow, and that's
absolutely.
What our mission is as well. Now, have you had a chance to talk to any of the people that have gone through here? Have you gotten any feedback?
As far as people, I mean, I've been here for almost a year in August, so I've only come in contact with businesses that are here right now, but just from talking with them about the experience they've had, and especially being in here, like I know majority of the people that have walked through this door today and have spoken with you, but just even just hearing them talk, just sitting and hearing them talk about their business, it's like I learned so much more, and it was just fascinating to watch, and I was watching because I was here, but listening to since it's radio. But I heard many of them talk about how previously, like prior to them coming here, they felt like they were, you know, isolated.
That's a theme, isn't it?
Yeah. And so then coming here, they were able to collaborate with other entrepreneurs who aren't necessarily in the same industry as they are. But
and it may not even logically, like you wouldn't think that they could help each other, but a lot of times it's weird how that it happens.
Yeah, and I know a lot of it happens, like I was telling Stone earlier, like we've had, and Yuli, I was telling you about how we have, you know, get-togethers, like we have a pizza, like a, you know, we say it's a meeting, like a CIE.
You're just hanging out.
Yeah. Yeah, Kelly, if you're listening, I promise. It's a meeting at times. But we just get together and they're able to talk. And I know a lot of times they'll come out of the office and they'll say, oh, okay, you know, if I need something with accounting, Jeff, or, you know, we have a lot of tech guys.
There's a lot of resources here, huh?
Right, yeah. And I personally think I have one of the coolest jobs. I mean, I'm technically just the office manager, working some with communications.
I don't think just is appropriate at all,
based on my experience with you today.
But it's just fascinating to me because we have companies like tech companies that like we have the Robotics Unlimited guys who, I mean, they'll step out of their office and say, hey, Chrissy, I'm sorry, we're going to have to make some noise. And they're running one of their robots across
the hall,
floor.
Right?
Yeah. And so I look up over my desk because, you know, they've given me a high desk. And so it's just like, oh, my gosh.
There's a robot.
Like So it's fascinating. And so I think the CIE provides, you know.
It's important for the community.
Right.
And you've got to see, are you from Pensacola?
I am. I've been here since I was 2. So,
so
technically born.
So you've kind of grown up here.
Yeah.
And so don't you see the CIE as kind of part of this revitalization?
I do. Absolutely. I think it's a huge part of it because the companies that start here don't stay here. Mm-hmm. And so they go out in the community. And that's what I believe that's how our community is continually building and growing and thriving, like you said earlier.
And it must be rewarding for you to be a part of that and to help in your way of helping them be successful.
Absolutely. And like I said, I'm excited to deal more with on the communication side of things.
To help get the word out, to help kind of amplify the messages of all the people in here.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know with Kelly Reeser and myself, our goal for the CIE is to make it a known entity, I guess. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when someone hears the CIE to know exactly what it is, to know exactly what we do, and maybe even know companies like success stories that, I mean, just have that come to mind. So I know that's our goal. And so far, I mean, I can see how it's grown even just in the last year that I've been here. So it's exciting.
So you got Pensacola State College. It was Pensacola Junior College, incidentally, Lee, when I grew up here. It was PJC. But you got Pensacola State College. And
it'll always be Pensacola Junior College. Right. I'm sorry, if you went there and it was PJC, it's always PJC.
So this thing, technically, officially, it is a collaboration between Pensacola State College and the Chamber of Commerce. Is that the two, or are there other organizations?
For the CIE itself?
Yeah, for the CIE itself.
This is technically PSC's building.
Okay.
I know Golf Power is on the bottom floor, but PSC has their...
It was a little confusing driving up. I'm trying to explain it to Lee. I'm like, Pensacola State College, you got Golf Power.
I mean, I constantly have people come to my floor wanting to know how to get to the
trying
floor.
Trying to pay the electric
right,
bill.
Exactly. That too. But yeah, the Pensacola Chamber, we're kind of in the middle of transitioning, but we have been affiliated with the Chamber up until this point, and we're still working very closely with them.
Right.
But the Chamber is no longer considered our parent organization. We are in the middle of rolling out a new organization that is going to be and I mean, I know the rollout is tentatively for this month, so I won't say the name yet. But that's the kind of what we've been working
on. But this is a natural evolution of some really terrific collaboration.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Of people and organizations with common purpose. And they all are obviously very interested and genuinely committed to supporting entrepreneurship, which I got to tell you, I just really did not anticipate this level of commitment to supporting business in general, and particularly startup and early stage businesses. We were coming anyway. We were going to put a Business Radio X here. I grew up here. I want one here. But I've just been blown away as the more that I learn about the level of commitment and support.
And what's fascinating about that, Stone, is it's all across the board. Like even the Young Entrepreneurs Academy, previous segment. It's not just older entrepreneurs, it's younger entrepreneurs. And it's fascinating because I know I've used that word a lot, but it's just absolutely fascinating. But before I worked here, I had no idea. Like I told you earlier when we were talking, I started out as a business major. And even then I had absolutely no idea what existed downtown Pensacola and across Pensacola. So it's really neat to see just the collaboration and the effort put out by all the companies around here. It's just exciting to see how it's thriving and building.
Yeah, you must have a great deal of fun just hanging out with these folks. And I mean, the energy in these walls is just, you picked a great word. It's fascinating. It's there's a tremendous amount of energy.
And it must be rewarding, too. I mean, we had the young lady here earlier for the Young Entrepreneur Academy. To see somebody of her age.
Oh, wow.
Have a business that's thriving and she's, you know,
made me
winning
feel 15 years younger just sitting in on the conversation.
How many people did you tell about that story? I'd have to tell everybody I knew, you know, if I was part of something like that.
I mean, I was able to be a part of kind of especially with this past year, I wasn't able to participate in the Young Entrepreneurs meetings. Like they meet every Tuesday night for a 9-month period, but I was able to participate in the CEO roundtable. And in the Shark Tank, what she was talking about, what she won here for Pensacola.
And you see kids being able to do that? I mean, that's
it's just,
crazy.
It is incredible to
me.
It makes me feel unaccomplished at almost 25 years old. But it's just incredible to see their drive and their passion for something like that. And starting out at such an early age, at a young age. And just the fact that there is a program that is here, that is present.
Right.
That's helping them. And I love that a lot of the mentors are CIE tenants or previous CIE tenants. Like it's just, I mean, it's
they
want to
give
back.
Yeah, right.
Because
great.
They've been given that help. And
now, how important is that in the business community? You know, because you don't hear those stories about the business people giving back and serving their community.
And they
here's
do.
A perfect example. Mm-hmm. They're not gaining anything financially by helping some middle school kid, you know?
No.
They're doing it just to help
pure
out. Because,
reward.
Right?
Yeah. It's
That's nice to see.
Yeah. And it, like the Ramos, it's just very encouraging to see. They're such a sweet couple. And
successful
and
business
successful.
People. And you know they're busy.
Yeah.
Right? You know
right.
they got a million things to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they work at their business all day. And then, I mean, especially because with the program, I mean, they meet once a week
right.
or twice a week or however often. And then, you know, the events, like they've been to gallery night and they do
right.
all these things. And and even with Kelly Reeser.
Like, I bet you something tells me they don't get a paycheck from YEA. Is that right?
I mean,
I
don't
not a big paycheck from that.
As far as I know, it's not.
It's a volunteer.
It's volunteer. They're just, yeah, it's just a blessing for them, I know. And
right.
for Kelly. Kelly and I have spent a lot of time talking
right.
about, you know, just the reward and not monetarily,
right.
but just, you know, the reward they get as far as for helping these young entrepreneurs.
And those
business,
guess what? Those young entrepreneurs are the ones who are going to create the jobs for the next group of
absolutely.
Entrepreneurs, right?
Yep, absolutely. It's, I mean, they you start them up now, and they're going to be the ones running Pensacola or
right
spreading across the country or even internationally. Like, you have no idea.
So, what a great seat you have to see all this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very blessed.
Now, if somebody wants to get involved with the CIE, is there a website?
Yeah, it's thegulfcoastinnovation.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can also email Kelly Reeser at kreeser at pensacolachamber.com or me at CIE at pensacolachamber.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be happy to help in any way we can, even if it's, you know, just if it's a question on, you know, how do I become an entrepreneur? How do I
right.
start my own business?
And obviously you help it. People at any age.
Yeah, no kidding.
To do this.
Yeah. At any stage, any age.
And what I love with the CIE, I mean, it's a strict like it's a
right. It's a curriculum.
Designed.
This isn't just show up and, you know, we figure stuff out. You're not winging
right.
anything. This is a program.
It's designed to be, if I believe, a 3-year program, but
mm-hmm.
It's a case by case basis, and that's what I love about it. It's not that if someone comes to us and they say, hey, I've started this business. I really want it to take off. We and the board will, you know, evaluate it, obviously, but it's a case by case basis, and that's what I love. It's not necessarily turning anyone down because they don't meet a certain criteria.
Right.
There are those criteria, but it is case by case, and that's what I love, because we have so many different
right a wide variety
of people
here. All ages, you know.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, and it's just a great program. And it's gulfcoastinnovation.com if you want to learn more. And I'm sure there's stuff on the website that can educate
absolutely.
Them a bit.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being a wonderful hostess.
Thank you for having me again. I've enjoyed
and,
it.
And thank you to the Gulf Coast Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship for allowing us to be here. And Chrissy, you have made our time here delightful. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And this is Lee Cantor for Stone Peyton. We will see you all next time on Pensacola Business Radio.